Well, spit. How was Junebug to know flour was flammable? It was flour. You cooked the stuff, for Pete's sake. It wasn't gunpowder. Only somehow, that great big sack of flour had blown the belly out of the cookhouse, she marveled, as she watched her older brothers try to save the outbuilding.
You could have killed yourself, Morgan raged,
as he threw buckets of creek water at the snapping flames. She was rather singed, and her rear end sure did hurt from where she'd landed in the woodpile. But she was fine. And what a thing to see! All that flour floating about in the air, and then wham! No cookhouse!
You ought to be tarred and feathered for this, Bo grumped,
sloshing water on Junebug's bare feet as he jogged up from the creek.
Well, spit, Junebug said. It ain't like I set fire to the cookhouse on purpose. Not this time or the last time.
If this was anyone's fault, it was Morgan's. He'd been the one to dump that great big sack of flour in front of her and shut her up in the cookhouse to bake, rather than let her go fishing. If it had been up to her, she'd be stretched out in the meadow, pulling a few fat bull trout from the creek, and their cookhouse would still be standing. But no, Morgan had to go force her into an apron and lock her in the dark little hut for the afternoon. If anyone was to blame for this, it was definitely him. Not that she was game to tell him that yet. She'd wait till he cooled off some. She'd at least wait until the fire was out. Morgan was worse than a grizzly coming out of hibernation when he was in a mood. And he was pretty much always in a mood.
How do you burn a stove down?
Jonah asked, as they watched the remains of the cookhouse smolder. Surely the whole point of a stove is that it's fireproof.
Junebug could burn down hell itself,
Kit sighed. He and Morgan had that mountainous look they got when she was in trouble. They went all immovable and stony, and she knew there was no way around them.
It wasn't my fault, she reminded them.
It never is.
Morgan looked madder than usual.
But this time, it really wasn't.
They weren't listening. They never did. Not for the first time, Junebug wished she had a sister. A proper live one. Technically, she had three of them. But they were all bundled up under the choke cherry tree. No use to her at all. Sleeping with the angels was written on their gravestones. But Junebug never believed it. Why would you sleep if you got to see angels? No. She was certain those three little girls were having a time of it, flying about, instead of being here to help Junebug deal with their brothers. And she sure did need some help. With the cooking, for a start, those four could eat more than a herd of buffalo. And they were fussy as hell, always complaining that she'd burned this or put too much salt in that. Where was it written that she knew how to cook just because she was a girl? Nowhere, that was where. And she hated cooking. Almost as much as she hated doing their laundry, and she hated that something fierce. Those boys stank. After winter, their long underwear was fit for burning rather than cleaning. And did they thank her when she took the trouble to burn it? No. Morgan just shouted at her about the cost of new underwear.
They were unwashable,
she'd tried to explain. But that had been another prime example of a time when he didn't listen to her.
Don't just stand there. Kit thrust a pail at Junebug. You made this mess. You help clean it up.
Junebug followed him down to the creek.
I told you, it was Morgan's fault.
You're just lucky we were smart enough to build the cookhouse close to the water and away from the woods. The last thing we need is a wildfire.
Kit scooped up creek water.
It was my idea to build it close to the water, she reminded him, filling her own pail, so I wouldn't have to haul water so far.
I swear, Junebug, you're as lazy as a house cat.